Blog Talk Radio.
The Madden Voice, we are here, starting with the NFL Fox theme song, and season 5, episode 19, wild card round is over, and I am pleased to say that the Madden Voice will give you full coverage of the wild card round, and a full preview of the divisional round, as we get that much closer to the big game in February, the Super Bowl. All home teams won this weekend, which really goes back to the question that I posed last week, and we really need to spend some time on it this week. Is it fair that a team that wins the division at 8-8 gets to host a game in their home stadium over a team that finishes 4 games ahead of you at 12-4? Is it fair? Is that true football? Should that be the case? And with the outcome of the game in question this weekend, to me, it raises that issue even higher. Would we have had the same outcome had that game been played in Pittsburgh? Going to talk about that. But first, let me bring on my co-hosts. We have with us EAFL Super Bowl I winner, Dr. Train. That's right. That's what I'm going to call him from now on, because one day it's going to be official. Dr. Train, welcome to the Madden Voice.
What up, T? I swear that never gets old. EAFL Super Bowl winner.
Well, you earned it, bro. You earned it. You earned it. And lo and behold, he has arisen from the dead. He is with us. He is here. I got to admit, I'm a bit surprised. I had about written him off. But he is here, maybe to face the music, maybe to explain his side of things. Nevertheless, joining us once again, Madden Nation 4 contestant, last year's runner-up for $25,000 in the VGEA Madden Challenge, and Pittsburgh Steeler diehard fan, K-Star is with us tonight. K-Star, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Man, I feel like I'm in The Walking Dead right now. I just don't feel alive.
K-Star.
That's just terrible. What's up?
Wow. I tip my hat to you still coming, man.
I gotta say it too. I told Train, I said, if dude doesn't call in, it's gonna be even worse than if he did. And I saw your number pop up and I said, okay, I gotta give him credit. He called in. You know, and I know it wasn't easy, but, you know, I do have to, I spent a lot of time on this yesterday. I spent a lot of time on this. You know, software and technology is not all that easy these days. You know, there's so many different programs that do so many different things. Going to play everybody a clip and set the stage for our conversation.
All right. Obviously, Steelers won this game. They're on defense, total yards and scoring, playing one of the most anemic offenses in all of football. The ankle for Big Ben is a lot better than it was against San Francisco, which is definitely good news. But while we lost Mendenhall, Hall, you know, again, Mike Wallace and Antonio Brown, two prolific receivers for us. I just don't see how, you know, Tim Tebow and the Broncos can match us point for point at Mile High. Again, that offense is just horrendous to begin with, and they're playing against number one defense in the league. Troy Polamalu, James Harrison, Lamar Woodley, they're coming for you, Tim Tebow. I love you, but not this Sunday. Not this time.
And if you guys recall, I had a couple of responses to that.
You don't want to come on the Madden Voice if y'all lose to Denver, man.
I would forever hate Tim Tebow.
I'm gonna get on get on you right now. Okay, with what you gave me about Romo and how this and that and Romo and he didn't do it and blah, 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 all that bull, man, do not. I'm gonna tell you now, get the flu, get a cold, get something, man. Sprain, get a high ankle sprain, something. But you don't want to come on the Madden Voice next Tuesday night. If I don't care how, I don't care if Ben gets knocked out the first play and don't play the whole game. Don't come on the show next week because there's no way on earth the Steelers should lose it.
And then the last quote from last week.
And the outside chance that Tebow finds some magic.
That is so evil, man.
Scary, scary, scary thought. I don't even want to entertain it. We just not.
That was on top.
So that was last week's show. And here we are a week later. K-Star, what happened, man? What happened to the Steelers, bro? I'm going to give you the floor, man. You've had a couple days to think about it. We all your Facebook fans, all your Twitter fans saw the meltdown, okay? You've had a couple days to digest it. You know what I'm saying? Now, before I get into it, I'm going to give you the floor, and I'm going to let you tell everybody who's listening, what happened to the Steelers, man?
I mean, it'd be very easy to use injuries as an excuse, and that's not why we lost this game. The reason why we lost this game is, for the first time from what I can remember, is seeing Dick LeBeau refuse to adjust our defensive game plan against the Broncos. I've never seen us be so stingy, so stubborn to change up our scheme, or to not change up our scheme, like we did on this past Sunday. We literally ran man coverage. Sometimes cover one, sometimes cover zero, because Ryan Mundy didn't know where he was supposed to be, who replaced Ryan Clark. And it was bad. I've never seen, again, and Dick LeBeau is great. He's a Hall of Fame, you know, player and coach. And we basically took the game plan the Chiefs had against the Broncos with the man coverage along the board, the cover one, and had everyone in the box, and it just didn't work out. And it irks me because we're not that type of defense. You know, we're a zone blitzing, you know, type of defense. So to see that happen and just the lack of adjustments on defense, it truly boggles my mind. I've never seen a Dick LeBeau-led defense, coach defense, just refuse again to make any kind of adjustments. It was just horrific. It was just pure arrogance on our part because we refused to believe that Tim Tebow can keep, you know, bombing us play after play. But he kept doing it, and these throws were – honestly, there were some crazy, miraculous throws at a few of them. And, again, I guess he didn't expect it to keep happening. And like James Ferrier said after the game, the tape didn't show us that, you know, he was capable of doing that. It hurts me to talk about the game still. It's been a couple of days. And, honestly, we should have won this game. But you know, gotta give you credit to Tim Tebow and that Broncos passing game. They bombed us. We gave Terrence Newman a lot of crap a couple of weeks ago for the game he had against the Giants. This was even worse. And Ikeda gave over 200 yards, the total receiving yards given up to Demaryius Thomas, because he was literally on him the entire game. And what bothers me so much is, he didn't give up one 100-yard game all year to a receiver. He shadowed the best receiver all year. He had a great year. And then he just completely has the worst game I've ever seen him play, or really any DBRs play ever, in such a big game. It's sickening. Big Ben did what he could on the injury. He made some clutch plays down the stretch. We had some drops. I mean, we had injuries throughout the game. But honestly, at the end of the day, the reason why we lost the game was pure arrogance on the defensive scheme. Point, and I just can't believe that's how we lost because of that. Again, I would never suspect the reason why we lose a game would be because of Dick LeBeau refuses to adjust to that offense.
So, Train, what are your thoughts on the game? You know, I mean, as I listened back to the show last week, and you were right there with K-Star. You were right there, Steelers. You were against Tebow 100%. You know, I gave you a hard time because I was like, why are you siding with K-Star when you're supposed to be taking the other end? And, you know, but you were right. So, you know, what was your analysis of the game?
I did not think that guy was going to have enough magic, as we quoted it, to pull off this game. And it just looked like they really caught their defense off guard. I mean, and that's a big thing. I thought the Steelers' defense just wouldn't allow them to get, definitely not to get in the 20s, at much maybe 10 or 13, but definitely not in the 20s. As far as scoring, it just seemed like they caught the defense off guard. And that final play, man, I honestly have to give some of the credit to Denver coaching staff, because I think that final play was a lot of coaching. I think that final play was just in overtime was just an awesome play call by the coach, because here you know they're going to play the run. They don't want to let Tebow out the box, and you know Polamalu is going to play up all the time. That's just how he plays. You know, he's all over the field, but he definitely gets close to the line of scrimmage, and that's what he does. But the other safety fell asleep, and Demaryius Thomas right across the front of the safety. Boom, and he was gone. And that was an unbelievable play to watch. I just did not think the dude was going to score a touchdown. I was like, they're going to tackle him. They're going to tackle him. They're definitely going to tackle him. No, they're not going to tackle him. And, you know, it's a touchdown. But, yeah, I just think Denver caught that Pittsburgh defense off guard. And that Denver defense has been playing strong, you know, at times throughout the season. And, I don't know whether they game plan or not, but they definitely should have had a game plan for Von Miller, because he was all over the place.
Well, you know, one of the things I did say last week, and I picked the Steelers too, because smart money was on the Pittsburgh Steelers. But one of the things I did say was there is a veteran coach in there, and you know you can't underestimate what a veteran coach who's been to the playoffs before, you know. Been in the NFL, you know, 25 years, what kind of package he can put together for this game. And, you know, I was, I mean, for a little while, I felt bad for K-Star, because there's no way on this earth that Denver is a better team than Pittsburgh. There's no way. I'm sorry. You play this game 9 more times, and Pittsburgh's going to win the next 9 games. The problem is that Pittsburgh didn't watch the Bears game. The problem is that, you know, they did go in there thinking that we're the Steelers and that's just enough, and forgot that this is a pro football team too, and they're going to come to play too. And, you know, as much as I am not a fan of Tim Tebow at all, somehow or another this dude was winging them passes downfield like I have not seen many quarterbacks do, time and time, deep balls,
yeah.
Right? And
right, ridiculous.
I've never seen him do that.
I thought it was a stop. What is stop? I'm like, yo, this has to stop. This is ridiculous. Like, and it didn't stop. He played honestly. As you guys know, I've been a big Tim Tebow supporter all year, but I would never imagine you have a game like this in the playoffs, especially against the number one ranked defense, especially against my precious beloved Pittsburgh Steelers. What the hell? What the hell happened out there?
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it was ridiculous. So the man, like, again, yeah, it took the Steelers defense by surprise, because that game plan, that same game plan Steelers ran, was the one the Chiefs ran that held the Broncos offense to 3 points, and Tim Tebow looked horrible against that same game plan. And, you know, it just, the throws he made, it was just, John Elway, you know, said before the game, you know, to Tim, and they made it up public, you know, to just wing and pull the trigger. And, you know, he did, and it was just, I couldn't believe some of the accuracy on those throws, however, because, again, you know, I've been disappointed in Tebow all year, but I didn't think he could do that. Like, who did? Like, he broke several records against the Steelers. He had a quarterback rating of 130-something. He had 3 touchdowns. First quarterback ever to have 3 completions over 50 yards in a playoff game.
All right, well, let's stop talking about Tim for a second. Let's go back to your quarterback for a minute. How do you grade Ben's performance in this game?
I'll give him a B+. You know, he played pretty much on one leg the whole game. He still, you know, at the end of the game, like he always did, he tied the game.
We had that ball at the end of the game as well, and I thought for sure we're going to win the game. You know, he had two passes. I think we got to the 40, and he took a sack. And the sack that he took is just more of a product of him not being able to step up in the pocket like he normally could do. And, you know, he played pretty good. We had quite a few drops, which, you know, it happens. And, you know, he couldn't move like he normally could. But I think 23 points against the Broncos, that's good enough to win the game. And you would think anyway. And
how does it feel that Tim Tebow, the lowest-rated passer in the NFL, actually outplayed two-time Super Bowl champion quarterback, man? I mean, as I say it, I can't get the words out of my mouth that Tim Tebow outplayed Ben Roethlisberger. This is a guy that we all said, all three of us said at times, this season, top five quarterback. We put him up there, top five. We put him up there in the conversation with the Breezes and the Mannings, you know, Rodgers and these guys, two Super Bowl champions, you know, two rings. And it seemed to me that he never really got on track. Even though he managed to get some points back, it just, you know, I tell you, man, that lateral, that backwards pass, y'all caught a break on that one. Y'all, that was a backwards pass for your ass. Yeah. I mean, you know, by the way, the show for anybody out there listening, you know, when I schedule a show on Blog Talk Radio, they ask me to rate it. And I normally rate it family. And because I didn't know the mood K-Star was going to be in, I put it as explicit content. So, you know, I followed his Twitter last night, and I was like, oh, damn. You know,
yeah,
so
I was very extremely hurt. I still am. Like, this is ridiculous. Like, and the thing that bothers me even more is, like, I love Tim Tebow, but, like, now it's, like, just pissing me off because whenever I turn the TV, I just see the same highlight. Other than the touchdown overtime, it's really just getting to me to a point where it's just not bad for my health. I'm feeling a little deranged at this point. It's like a worst nightmare. I can't believe what happened. Like, this isn't real life right now. This is hell.
So how do you feel about Tim Tebow now? Will you support him moving forward? You were on his bandwagon. There's pictures of you doing the Tebow. I mean, now that he took your team out, sent your team home, how do you feel? Is he still, you know, you still got his back? You going to support him? Are you now on the Denver Bronco? Are you going to pull a train on me now and go on the Denver Bronco bandwagon for the rest of the playoffs? Or, you know.
I am going to root for the Denver Bronco bandwagon. Listen, I am going to root for Tim Tebow. I am. And my logic behind it is, especially against the Patriots, is Brady has put us out far more times than Tebow has. So I would love to see him more than, you know, the Broncos, the Patriots as well, because, again, they've ruined many of our Super Bowls and by being us, they changed the game two or three times with Tom Brady-led squad. So, I really expected the Steelers to play the Patriots. I was really looking forward to it after the Texans beat the Bengals, and it just didn't happen.
I could probably teach you a few things.
So, you didn't hear me? Let me say it again in case you didn't hear me.
I could probably teach you a few things.
Now, here's the thing, guys. When a team eliminates you from the playoffs, you don't go on their bandwagon. Okay, Star? I'm just from a friend.
I've been on it all year.
Yeah, okay, he hadn't eliminated you. You didn't play him. It's okay.
He took you guys out.
He sent you home. You guys, you picked, this was, not only is this your team, but this was your, you picked them based on what you saw that you said this team is going to win the Super Bowl. And he has sent your team home. Your team is now, Ben and Tony Romo are hanging out together. They getting treatment at the same, you know, he's getting his ankle and Romo's getting his hand treated, but they're not playing football. And you're going to sit there and support the team that knocked you out of the playoffs? Are you sure about that?
I don't want to think about it. Like, you understand. I just don't want to.
Don't you want to see the Patriots go in there?
I'm so conflicted.
Wait a minute now. Don't you – come on, Matt. Come on. Don't you want to see Tom Brady
wipe the floor with the Broncos, eat their lunch like he did a few weeks ago, and end the Tebow magic for the season. Send them home.
I do. But the thing is, well, I know while watching that, the whole time I'm simply thinking to myself, wow, the Steelers be playing this game, and it wouldn't be happening this way. It's just, either way, I'll be very upset watching the game. No matter the outcome, it's going to piss me off regardless because of what happened. Like, it's just bad. It's just all around bad. It's just horrible.
Mm.
I hate my life right now. It's horrible.
So, I got a question to ask you about a Twitter tweet that I saw. And I don't know your relationship with people, so, but one of your tweets said, "Hate life, still white." I didn't get it.
That's an Eminem lyric from the 8 Mile soundtrack. I was listening to it otherwise, but like, all right. It was just a lyric. I just felt like okay. I was in just a terrible state of mind, and I was just
You were definitely in a terrible state of mind.
Yeah, I went off and watched that, by the way.
You were my entertainment Sunday night after the game. You were. I when you deactivated your Facebook page, I immediately went over to Twitter, and you were my entertainment. I'm not gonna, even though we have we can speak whatever language we want tonight, I'm not gonna repeat some of the stuff you said on Twitter. But you were my entertainment tonight. But I'm gonna give you a chance. I'm gonna give you a chance, okay, to vent a little bit. I'm gonna give you a chance to come at the Cowboys one last time and see if to see. So we have a situation where the Steelers lost to the Broncos. In a game that the Steelers were clearly the favorite, even though they were on the road, clearly the favorite. We had a game 2 weeks ago where the Cowboys lost to the Giants, okay? And you gave me a pretty hard time about that game and about Tony Romo in particular, okay? Which one do you think was the bigger choke, the Steelers or the
Cowboys? Here we go. In the context of it all, I want to go with the Cowboys because of the games they gave. It was their division. The NFC East was their division. The Giants haven't even been in it towards the end. The Cowboys just gave up too many games. So when you look at the context of it all, you go with the Cowboys because that was their division. They should have won the division by 2 or 3 games. They shouldn't even got to the point. It was just, hey, 12-4. It's like you said, screwed up playoff system. We should win at home. I agree with you.
Oh, man.
I agree with you.
Somebody singing another tune.
Yeah. Wow.
Blew it out your ass.
Where's the process of a failed system? You know what I mean? Like, that's all that happened.
Blew it out your ass. So, yeah, I knew you would say the Cowboys were the bigger choke, and let's be real, let's be honest, let's just cut to the chase. The Cowboys are coming off a 6-10 season last year. The Steelers were in the Super Bowl last year. The Steelers finished the season 12-4. The Cowboys were 8-7 going into the last game. Other than your ego and your hurt pride, there is not anyone walking the face of the earth that doesn't think the Steelers right now, that game is about the biggest choke in recent football history. That's bad. It's as bad as a choke as you're going to find.
Yeah, and it wasn't. I don't feel as bad as the Saints Seahawks game from a year ago, though. I don't think it was that bad.
Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think the only saving grace you guys have is that Ben, you had injuries, and certainly while no one really thought the injuries would prevent you from winning before the game, it was very clear that the injuries before the game and during the game had an impact. I think as bad as Ben, Ben playing against San Francisco to me hurt him last night because that was an extra game that he could have been resting. And clearly last night he was still not himself. And I happen to like Ben. I happen to think he's a great quarterback and as tough as you're going to find in the NFL. And that 49er game to me hurt y'all last night.
I completely agree. And even the game against the Browns, you didn't need to play that game. It didn't end up becoming meaningless anyway since the Ravens won. So you shouldn't even play against the Browns. I mean, it was just, you should wrestle an ankle for the rest of the year. It was a high ankle sprain. It takes weeks for it to recover. So I agree 100% with that.
And I will say this. Ryan Clark being out was a bigger issue than we thought it would be. As I was saying the train earlier today, you know, Polamalu is a freelancer. He floats. The reason he can do that is because Ryan Clark makes sure everybody's where they need to be. Yeah. You have his backup in there. Maybe his backup is a talent, they say, you know, pretty similar talent. But as far as being able to quarterback that defense, and anybody who knows what a strong safety is supposed to do, that's what they're supposed to do. They're the quarterback of the safety, you know, of the defense. Free safety floats around a bit, you know, does his thing. And the strong safety is the quarterback. He's the captain back there. And that last play of the game, in my opinion, doesn't happen if Ryan Clark's there.
Oh, no. Yeah, you know. Apparently it was Monday. Monday was supposed to be playing the post safety.
Absolutely.
Right back. And
absolutely.
He stepped up, he bit on it, he came underneath. And because Troy, you know, Troy's always supposed to be the whole game is supposed to be around the box, where Monday is supposed to be covering deep. And there's quite a few times where the assignments got screwed up. And, you know, I don't think they'll have Ryan Clark there as well. It's tough because he wasn't even hurt. He just can't play. The only place he cannot play because of his sickle cell.
Is
in Mile High. So it really just sucks. Like, it's unfortunate. But
well, and it goes back to, oh, wait a minute. I got to hear this one more time. Down the outside chair said Tebow finds some magic.
That is so evil, man.
scary thought. I don't even want to entertain it. We just not.
That's on top.
I just couldn't resist. But the other. I'm sorry.
It's still evil.
I'm glad someone's having enjoyment out of this.
All right, I'm back. So one of the things that I think we really have to maybe take a minute to talk about is you talk about Ryan Clark not playing. He couldn't play because it was in Denver. If the seedings change, as we discussed last week, and Pittsburgh at 12-4 host the game, Ryan Clark plays. Pittsburgh's home. They don't have to travel, you know. There's just such a domino effect. And I, you know, the more I think about it, and don't get me wrong, if the Cowboys had won, they would have been home against Atlanta, you know, so I understand what that means. But I, the more I think about it, the more I think that to undermine someone's record because they didn't win the division, I mean, I think an 8-8 team hosting a game against a 12-4 team is a travesty. I really do. And maybe, you know, if it's a game or two, you can say, okay, it's close enough. But four games in the same conference, four games, you know, a team that's 500 against a team that's 12-4. We've had 12-4 teams with home field advantage throughout the playoffs. So 12-4 is a very good record. And to have to go on the road as the fifth seed, it just doesn't seem fair. It doesn't seem fair. And
that's 2 years in a row now. It's happened. 2 years in a row, it's happened, and both teams that actually had with a way better record had that went on the road to face these inferior teams have lost. It's, you know, crazy.
Trey, what do you think? What do you think? You know, how do you feel about the, you know, in lieu of this game, how do you feel about the seeding? And you know, you seem very intrigued with some of my ideas last week. What do you think?
I would embrace that change. Because, like I said, one thing I did say last week, winning your division guarantees you one thing, that you are in the playoffs. And that's enough. I mean, that's a chance to win a championship. That it guarantees you a chance to win the championship. But it does seem unfair for a team to finish, you're talking about four games better, to have to travel to play a team that finished at 500. The last year, what, 7-9? That's crazy,
right,
man.
Right.
Under 500, I got to travel to you? Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't like it.
I think it's something the competition committee should really take a look at, other than that stupid overtime rule that they put in place. This would have been a much better change to me.
I like that overtime rule.
Yeah,
I think the overtime rule is horrible.
I don't like it. I'm gonna tell you. Me and Train talked about this earlier, and I'm gonna tell you why I don't like it. And K-Star, you might change your mind. But what's the point of the overtime rule if the Broncos can come down, score, and the game's over? There's no change. You didn't change anything. That's a normal overtime game right there. Why didn't Pittsburgh get another possession? I know how the rules are written, and I know if it had been a field goal, Pittsburgh would get another possession. I understand that. But why, if you don't want quick, this is what the competition committee said. We don't want teams coming down 1, 2, 3 plays, kick a field goal, and the game's over. Oh, so it's okay for an 80-yard pass play in overtime and the game's over? That's okay, but you don't want 3 plays and a field goal and it's over. I don't get it. Either leave it alone or say, no matter what you score, when you score, if you score first, the other team gets the ball. Pittsburgh, in my opinion, if you want the overtime rule to make sense, Pittsburgh gets a chance to respond. And if they don't, 3 and out, or they only get, they don't get in the end zone, game's over. To me, that's fair based on the reasoning that the competition committee changed the rule in the first place. I don't like this new rule. Pittsburgh should have had a chance to come down and score, in my opinion. K-Star, you disagree with that?
To a point. I mean, I agree with the whole, the reasoning behind it. The logic you're presenting makes more sense, but to allow a touchdown overtime, it's a lot harder to give up a touchdown overtime than a field goal. Obviously, we give a touchdown one play as quickest overtime in NFL history, but.
There's the hole in the scheme. Yes, it's harder under many circumstances, but we just saw it happen in 11 seconds.
Yeah.
So there's the hole in their whole logic of a field goal. You can come back when a touchdown is over. Well, how do you feel now?
and that's true, but I mean, honestly, we didn't deserve to win after that. They didn't deserve the game for coming up with an 80-yard touchdown. No overtime, hats off to them. I agree. It'd been awesome. It'd been really cool if we get the ball again. To try and match for a touchdown. Maybe we would have. Probably would have because Ben's pretty clutch. But at the same end of it, we gave an 80-yard touchdown. Honestly, we deserve to go home at that point, especially since we're so stubborn to begin with.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, let's go to the phone, 615. This must be, I'm guessing this is Saint calling in. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
Man, I agree with K-Star, man. I got so many stuff I'm disagreeing with y'all about, man. If he just nailed it. If you let the man throw an 80-yard pass, I mean, if you give him 80 yards on the first play, man, you don't deserve it. You deserve to go home. I like the new overtime in the playoff rule.
But the new rule doesn't. That play has no impact on the new rule. That's normal play. That's normal overtime rules.
Yeah, normal to be honest, I mean, you should be able to stop Tim Tebow and company from getting in the end zone.
Well, we're not going to make rules just for Tim Tebow. What I'm saying is,
it's not just for Tim Tebow, but go ahead.
What I'm saying is that you change the overtime rule, but then we see a game where the overtime rule had no impact because they scored a touchdown. So I say, well, then what was the point of making a change?
This is just the first weekend of the playoffs. I mean, let's see how this thing unfolds.
That was the first ever overtime rule.
I understand that, but that doesn't mean the rule makes sense. I didn't think the rule made sense even before the game, even before. Okay, and the other point, I think, Train, you made this point on the phone with me earlier, is, guys play under one set of rules all season, and then you go into the playoffs, and now it's so different. Now it's like, okay, wait a minute now, guys.
I agree. I see what football's trying to do, and I agree with you. I mean, an extra quarter can mean a lot of stuff, man. Let's let one score and let's get the game over with. And I feel them on the point that, I mean, say Tim Tebow and company, I'm just using them because that's who played, but they might could get you to the 50, get you within 50 yards of field goal range and hit. He hit a 59 against Chicago or something crazy like that. And I think that is a cheap way of winning. I think that's a cheap way of winning. Go ahead.
I totally disagree with that as far as being a cheap way of winning. That's a way to win a game.
You can win a game, if it's cheap, then you might as well not allow people to win on a game winning field goal in regulation. That doesn't
but
make
you
sense.
You can look up and get, you know, 40 yards. You can look up and get 40. I guess you can look up and get 80 yards.
At that point, the point guard situation,
way to win.
The coin toss situation, even the coin toss, you have much greater odds of winning that game in overtime. Meanwhile, I was actually kind of happy at first that Denver won the coin toss in overtime with these new rules, because I was like, hey, you know, if we stop, all we got to do now is kick a field goal and win. So,
right.
If anything, you know, they made a great play and they deserve to win, but I still like the new rules. Obviously, we didn't see a whole bunch of it.
I think we have to see in order.
Yeah,
I mean, we have to see it play out to actually like it. But what I saw makes me not like it. To me, okay, granted, Denver made a great play. Okay, what? I mean, in college football, the team gets a chance to respond in overtime.
Yeah.
Now I like the way college football do it actually. But like I said, we're in the NFL, we're in the league.
I understand that, but what's the harm in giving Pittsburgh a chance to respond? It's the same mentality behind the field goal. They came down, they got a 60-yard field goal. You don't want a cheap win in overtime in the playoffs.
Okay.
Fine.
And then,
so what's
okay,
the harm
let's,
in
let's,
to respond?
Let's say they go down and respond, because I believe they would have, knowing Ben Roethlisberger. And then you just get so much more game that can be played.
But then after that, whoever scores first wins. That's
then
the field.
That would just be kind of redundant. I mean, I believe that would be like it was
before. That's exactly what it is. Because the thing is, when you go into overtime, I guess if I use the word frightening, so to speak, if they're not to say that football players get scared, but the most intense thing about overtime is that it was supposed to be sudden death, which means if that team gets that coin toss, you can't let them get in field goal range. You can't
but that's spoken like a Chicago Bears fan who has the greatest defenses in the world. That's coming from a Chicago Bears fan.
It's sudden death. This is no longer sudden death.
I gotta agree with Train. I think it goes back to my original point: is why change the rule in the first place? If you're gonna change it, to me, the change is not sufficient. If you want to give a team a chance to respond, then give them a chance to respond. Period. Okay. If not, don't be selective and say, well, on the field goal you can respond, but on a touchdown you can't. Which leads me to go back to say, just scrap the rule. And I agree with you 100%. Sudden death. That's it. You know.
You
I
like
won
sudden
the coin.
Death.
I like it. You won the coin flip. I get the ball. The defense, and in this case, Pittsburgh Steelers defense, number one ranked defense in the NFL, has to stop Denver. That's their job. You know, if you don't stop them, the game is over. That's sudden death. I love it. I think that's what football is all about. This other than now, this watered down crap they got out there now, I don't think it's watered down either. I don't like it.
This is for NFL. It's much easier now, especially more than ever, since it's more of an offensive-based league. So it gives just some field goal range. It's just two passes here in field goal range.
Let's see next year. I would have felt
completely cheated if the Broncos had won a coin toss just to kick a field goal and win. Like a 59, exactly, like a 59-yard field just to win.
Right.
We win.
And let's say they run it back to the, you know, to the 45 or whatnot. Come on,
okay.
Let me jump in
here for a minute. For one, if the
Broncos
win off a field goal, if the Broncos win off a field goal, you gotta understand that's the home field advantage. That's the home field advantage part right there, because you can kick 60-yard field goals and now.
You can do that.
So that's the home field advantage issue if you want to take you there. Another thing is if the head coach already don't have enough time trying to keep their jobs, now you gotta contemplate whether you want to accept the coin toss or not when you get into overtime.
No, because you still want to win the coin toss no matter what. Obviously, you still want to win the coin toss no matter what, because you can end the game right there. Just like Denver.
Yeah, you're going to want the coin toss.
Well, it does, but it creates a situation where the head coach can say, you know what, I'm gonna go ahead and receive. Because if we can stop them and we score, then we're good.
That hasn't happened. We'll see. We'll see if anyone takes a strike.
He's going to get fired.
No coach is going to kick the ball. I guarantee.
No,
especially
no
now.
No,
yeah.
But I'm just saying it does create the situation.
I guess. Maybe if you want to get frisky with it, but who's going to do that? who's really going to do that?
Stop with the Bears. This ain't about the Bears. This ain't got nothing to do with the Bears. But what I'm saying is this. I mean, this is the way football has been played, and I've had no problem with it. You know what you're up against. These are the rules. You go into overtime, and you need to stop that team if they get the ball first. If you don't, you're going to lose the game. You had 60 minutes to come out ahead, so now it's sudden death. You know, and I have no problem with that. I don't like what I feel from this rule because you're being selective. Either give, like in college, you get a chance to match it. Either allow them a chance to match it or don't, which I'd have no problem with.
If you give a touchdown, though, in overtime, you deserve to lose. We deserve to lose that game.
Man,
I didn't feel bad about the way we lost at all. I'm like, okay, we gave up an 80-yard touchdown. You do feel bad about losing that game, man.
Yeah, of course I feel bad about it. I didn't feel cheated in that sense. Let's look at the last overtime game that caused this rule. The Saints-Vikings game. The Saints got the ball.
If the rule had stated, come down, and you get a field, you touchdown, and you get the respond, and then you guys responded with the touchdown, and then Mike Tomlin said, you know what, let's end this game right now. We're going for two, and you went for two and hit Hines.
That's the playoffs.
I know it wouldn't happen. I'm being hypothetical because it didn't happen. Would you be complaining? Would you be sitting here on the show now saying, well, you know.
That'd be cool. That'd be really cool. But I'm at the same time, I don't feel cheated, though, either. I don't feel cheated the way we lost.
Tebow did. The game's over.
I tell you what would have been messed up, though. I was rooting for Tebow. I'll tell you what I wouldn't have liked, or I would have felt like I would have felt cheated if they would have kicked it off. The special teams, the kickoff return team, got it down to the 40. Or, you know, the 40 or the 35 or something, they ran three plays and went nowhere and then kicked the field goal and won. That means teams would have won the outcome of overtime.
Special teams were the outcome in regulation. Why can't they be the outcome in overtime?
I don't understand
why overtime has to be won a special way.
They still can win the game. Special teams can win the game.
But you had four quarters to win the game. Any way you could win the game. Offense dominate, defense stop them, special teams make a play. You have four quarters. Now you're in sudden death? Hey,
look,
it's a free fall. It is what it is.
I'd much rather do it your way than to ever go back to sudden death in the playoffs with a field goal to end it. I'd much rather be like, the rules now. Or say we get to respond to the touchdown on our own and go for two or you know, not at all. I'd be more okay with that and the rule we have now rather than just a field goal. Because the Vikings-Saints game was a bad taste in a lot of people's mouths of the way that the Saints ran like two plays and one was a flag. A questionable flag at that got in field goal range and made a kick the field goal to win the game. And the Vikings got zero chance to respond. That's why the rule came about to begin with because it didn't feel right. Let's go to the Super Bowl, and that's how it ended. Like, that
all right,
we got
another caller wants to jump in here, so let me bring him in. 215 area code, welcome to the Madden Voice.
Commission T.
Yes, sir.
What's going on? You are my friend.
Hey. What is up, Coach Chris? Wow.
What's going on, buddy?
Man, oh man. I ain't talked to you in, how long has it been? Been a long time, man.
It's been a long time, man. A long time. I figured, you know, I'm driving my way to work. Let me hop on and see what you guys are talking about tonight.
Well, you know, and you jumped in on a good conversation, man. You know, we're talking about the Steelers and the Broncos game that just happened. An outside chance that Tebow finds some magic.
That game was wow. Friggin' Steelers.
Shut up.
Well,
shut your mouth.
Well, we have Kate.
See you later, time. Oh man!
Hey, I gotta give K-Star credit. He did call in to take the verbal abuse. But what do you think of the overtime rule, Chris? What do you think of the? Do you like the new rule? Would you like to go back to just sudden death? I got my man Daryl in the chat room. Thanks for checking out the Madden Voice. Daryl is actually old friend of mine, and we play in the other fantasy league together. And he would prefer the sudden death as well. He's saying, I'm for sudden death. You should handle your business in the first four quarters. And I got to agree with that. But, Chris, what do you think?
It can go either way. I kind of like the new rule. Maybe they find some way to tweak it a little bit. I'm not sure how, but I think they can work with the new rule. It's just something about it that right now it just ain't sticking with everybody. But I think in time people will just enjoy it, because you know what? Sometimes it'll benefit their team, and that's when they'll really appreciate that new rule.
Yeah, no, I mean, everyone certainly comes around to rules. When it benefits your team, then of course you like the rule. But I'm looking at it objectively because my team is sitting home with your team right now. Romo and Victor are playing golf together somewhere right now.
I was waiting for you to mention my team in there.
Yeah, well, you know, I had to mention your team, man. Your Eagles. But I think the point that I've been trying to make is I get the concept of not allowing a cheap field goal to win a game. I get that. I don't have a problem with that in as a concept. But to me, then you're devaluing a score. You know, and to me, either go full tilt and say, if you score on your first possession, whatever, the other team gets a chance to respond, or just go back to the way it was, sudden death. You know,
think of the scenarios, though. We want to have to see more of this. Though. Think about the cool scenarios that could play out. Say next week the Broncos and Patriots go to overtime. The Patriots take three, and the Broncos, let's say they drive the ball to the Patriots 20, it's 4th and inches. Now they can either go for it and try to end the game right then and there by going for the touchdown, or they can go in an effective a real sudden death overtime where first quarter wins by kicking the field goal, and then, you know, from then on, whoever scores first wins. That's some really cool decision making. There's gonna be a lot of cool scenarios that do play out.
I don't see what's so cool. What's so cool about that scenario, though? I don't see anything cool about it at all. I mean, to me, that's not even sudden death. You're just playing a fifth quarter. That's not overtime. You're playing.
How's that not overtime? Because you have a decision to make. Like, okay, well, we're gonna take the three, and we'll go into yet another little thing, or we're just gonna, you know what? F it. We're gonna go out here and we're just gonna win it, and we're gonna go for it and end this game right here, right now.
Yeah,
I just think what they've done.
Imagine it could be 4th and 2 on like the 35-yard line. Now teams may want to decide, you know what, if I kick a field goal, then we kick off and we start it over again. But hey, we get the first down, we can go for the first down now. So now it makes coaches decide, okay, do you want to be gutsy and go for it on 4th down? I mean, or do you want to take the safe three and then let them get the ball back?
I don't see the appeal, and I don't see any coach at 4th and 2 in field goal range where if you don't get the first down, the game is over, saying, let's go. In a playoff game, which is, remember, we're not talking regular season now, because this isn't valid for exit. We're talking playoffs. So here I am. I'm John Fox. I'm coaching the Tim Tebow-led Broncos, and I'm in this game with the Super Patriots, and it's 4th and 2, and I've got Prater, whatever his name is, who kicks 60-yard field goals, but I'm going to go for the touchdown. And hell no, he's not going to go for
the touchdown. Right. Oh, yeah,
they could take
out
the Broncos. They could take out the Broncos right then and there.
It could be the only way where – it could be the same thing for the Patriots. Patriots could have 4th and 2. I'll tell you right now, Belichick may decide to go for it.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised. Would he be surprised if Belichick went for it? I wouldn't be.
I mean, I'd put the game in Tom Brady's hands and let him make a play instead of my kicker, because I know, hey, Tom Brady is one of the best quarterbacks in the league. But if I'm John Fox, I'm taking the ball out of Tebow's hands every chance I got.
You do know that we are talking about the Broncos taking the Patriots in the overtime. You do know that that is the concept that you were talking about. This is a team that beat them by 18 points 4 weeks ago.
What's your point?
I'm just saying the Patriots beat them.
It could be any team. It doesn't matter what two teams. You can plug in any two teams. Okay, Niners, Saints, Giants, Packers. That's more a realistic situation. I'm just saying it doesn't really matter.
I see the scenario. It doesn't intrigue me. I just don't see
how that would intrigue you. But
well, why would it intrigue
you?
It's a whole other strategic element
added to the game. To end it.
Hey, you know what? Call me a purist. I thought the way it was before was much more suspenseful to me. I see it. Return the ball back to the 30, 35-yard line. They got to go 30, 35 yards to get a field goal. I'm watching every play. Can they get a first down? Are they going to get in the field goal range? Are they going to go for a touchdown to try to end?
How about when Demaryius Thomas stiff-armed Ike Taylor? It was big. When he first came, like, okay, God, just please make the tackle. I don't care if they're in field goal range. Just make the tackle. He stiff-armed him. He can't run it. If we would have tackled him at the 10-yard line, we still would have had a shot. We still would have had a shot to win the game because we could have held a three.
Hold on. And the outside chance that Debo finds some magic.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You know, the problem is, at your age, man, you're just not used to change.
He's not what?
He said, at my age, I'm not used to change.
Oh, wow. I just think it takes the whole idea of sudden death overtime. It's no longer sudden death overtime. It's sudden death if you don't score one play touchdown.
Can end the game effectively still. Like we just saw. What are you talking about? One play can throw in the game. I'm sorry. When he made that stiff arm, I knew it was overtime. Over. I'm like, oh my God, our season is over. And that was one play. Like I don't understand. Like I don't push your whole life.
I don't see the point of the rule changes. You can still win off one play.
Exactly.
Now you're degrading the field goal.
Exactly.
Listen, it's not the field goal. That's what the rule does. The rule degrades the field goal.
You can win a field goal.
The rule exhibits to get rid of the coin toss.
But you can't win by a field goal. That way, in overtime, the team gets a chance to respond. Come on, man.
In the playoffs.
Up to that point. No. You guys are not considering the coin toss element. That's why they did this to begin with, because they wanted to make it less of a luck thing, where if you win a coin toss, guess what? Your chance of winning go up exponentially in overtime. However, if you were to end the game at the very end in regulation, guess what? Clock management came to a certain point in that game where you could have had the ball at the end or all those other things. That's completely different. The reason why the rule
finished.
Hold on. The reason why it came about was because they wanted to limit the coin toss effect. That was it. That was their reasoning. You can look at the number. You can do all that stuff. But the reason behind it was to limit the coin toss and its outcome of the game and how it weighs.
Let me say this. For one, this has been the first overtime since they had the rule change. They made the rule change before playoffs last year. So really, it doesn't even happen often. Second, the percentage of winning if you win the coin toss is just over 50%, something like 57. So it's very close to 50-50. So I still don't see. So for 7%, you're going to change it because it's still 50-50. So 7%, you're going to change it and give the other team a chance. You're going to take away 7%.
In today's NFL, you know how easy it is to get a pass interference or a holding call on defense and be in field goal range? Yes.
But all of this is...
You need to play discipline.
The funniest part about all of this...
There's no defense.
The change that I'm suggesting gives Pittsburgh a chance to respond, which I think would have been fair because we could also say Denver didn't get it. Denver was up by two scores in regulation and let Pittsburgh back into the game. So Denver had four quarters to get it done and did get it done. And then they get, hey, call it a lucky play. There's a lot of things we could call that play, all right? And then the game's over. A great competitive back-and-forth game like that and it ends like that. Some could say, well, damn, what would have happened if Pittsburgh had gotten the ball back? If it had been a field goal, they would have gotten the ball back. So why don't they
I agree with that a little bit. I'd rather take your way over than just a field goal ended. Much rather.
I got a caller on hold here, 860, my area code. Welcome to the Madden Voice.
What's up?
How you doing?
Yeah, you know it's D.
Oh, what's up, D?
What up?
I'm glad you called in, man. I saw you
I'm
in the chat.
With B.
Oh, what's up, B? You there?
There we is.
All right. Hey, I just want to – these are guys in the NBX football, fantasy football league, where I was the runner-up. I didn't win. But B is the commissioner. And, yeah, well, you know what? At least I made it to the championship game, so back up. Anyway.
Three-time champion.
Why are you living in the past? Why are you living in the past?
Your past is a loss, so it's a difference.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm not talking 2 years ago. I'm talking 2 weeks ago. I got no respect. The only person who gave me any respect in that league was B. I got no respect from none of y'all, so don't even try it. I came from nowhere. I got no call, no text, no email, no post, no nothing from anybody saying, damn, T, you know you were ass last year, and now you're going to the championship game? That's a good
job. Dude, I was pulling for you. Did you think I wanted the G-men to win? You crazy.
Well, I know you didn't want them to win, but I got no love. I got no love, man. But anyway, enough.
I was all for you. Anyway, this whole rule thing, it should just be sudden death and done. We ain't playing in the streets no more where I score a touchdown. Oh, you get your last play because you scored. What is that?
I agree.
That don't make no sense because, I mean, one and done, like you said. We got four quarters, win the game in four. If you can't win in the four, take your chances. One and done.
That's a tell.
That's it.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a tell.
Hey, but then you're saying this, K-Star, disregard the fact that we have the number one ranked defense in the NFL now, right? That don't mean nothing, right? Because we're not gonna show up. It's gonna be whoever gets the toss. We might as well not even go on the field because you're gonna come down and score. I recall. Let me see. Was it Matt Hasselbeck? Overtime, we're gonna take the ball.
Oh yeah,
from
yeah, that was Matt.
Remember
yeah,
that?
No,
remember that?
Yeah.
And what did he do? Threw a pick six and the game was over. I loved every second of it. And I had no...
That's still been the end, though. That's still been the end in the current rule. The new rule.
That's
still the end of the game.
You're making my point. Then why change it, then?
I'm not.
Exactly.
Because the reason why they changed it, though, is just because the head tells them. That's it. Because, again, they go back to the same Vikings game, which ended kind of fishy.
That's one game. And you know, that's going
to happen. That's a game to go to the Super Bowl. This is the playoffs. This is different. Like...
You can disagree. I think we'll see. There'll be more playoff games. And I'll tell you, if we're here talking about this next week because the Broncos took the Patriots to overtime, I mean, I don't have any. Man, now let's talk about the Broncos Patriots game. Okay, let's talk about that. Okay, we've got Josh McDaniels, former head coach, talk about collusion.
Right.
Josh McDaniels, former head coach of the Denver Broncos, is now a consultant with the Patriots, pending their offensive coordinator, who I thought was leaving, but he's not. I just heard today. I thought he was gone. He's going to finish the playoffs, so he's still there. And this McDaniels is the consultant for the rest of the playoffs. Train, I'm going to go to you on this one, man. Something wrong. It just feels wrong to me, to be honest with you. Am I missing something here?
We're talking about McDaniels being rehired, right?
Rehired by the Patriots. But now, during the playoffs, just before they're going to play his old team.
Wow. Well, I mean, I don't know how much he could really give them. I don't, you know, but I mean, we know how we know with the whole Spygate issue, but I don't know how much McDaniels can really give them because I mean, they had a whole new coach, so the whole system has pretty much changed from whatever McDaniels had there. Maybe
he
knows some
players.
He
knows
them.
Absolutely,
I mean,
he knows those players. He knows
their
tendencies.
Yeah, but I mean. Still, I mean, like you said before this week, you got a playoff. You got John Fox is a playoff head coach. He's been there before. So I still don't think it'll be enough.
I'm not talking about scheme. Obviously, they can have a completely different scheme. I'm talking about the fact that he knows players' tendencies on that team, and that's not something you change. Your tendencies are your tendencies. They are your habits. They are who you are, and he knows those things. He drafted a lot of those guys, including Tebow. You know, and I think, absolutely. And I do think there's going to be some information that he can give. I mean, Brady done all but came out and said, used the term inside information. He came right out and said it in an interview. So
it's shady. It really is. I mean, think about it. Players can't play in a season from a different roster. You can't just add Steven Jackson from the Rams like they added Josh McDaniels from the Rams to the Patriots. Sure, he's not going to be on the field, but guess what? He could affect a lot of the calls that are going to be on the field that normally would not have been the case if he was still employed by the Rams. For him to just leave the Rams and go to the Patriots, you know, just simply because they're not in the playoffs is ridiculous. That is completely – it's just shady. That's legalized gate, what they're doing right now. You know, that's fine because it's obviously it's legal. They're not cheating because they're getting away with it. So it's just – it's real fishy to me.
Yeah. I don't like it.
I don't blame the Patriots still for doing it because, again, it's, you know, it's not against the rule.
Well, what is Belichick's rule? You ain't trying if you ain't cheating. I mean, ain't that his rule?
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, can B hear me? Is he on the line?
He trying to stay quiet because he, you know where he's standing on this whole thing, right?
I know. That's why I wanted him to come in. Mr. Belichick.
Hold on. He wants
get him on here, Mr. Belichick Jr. himself. Get him on here.
Hello?
Man. Yo, B.
Hey, what's up, man? Yeah, what's up, B?
Welcome to the Madden Voice, man.
Thank you, sir.
Now, listen, you're on the air. You are live with Dr. Train and K-Star, and we're talking about the hiring of Josh McDaniels, man. How can you guys justify, man? I mean, I know it's not against the rules, man, but ain't that a bit shady?
Man, I look at it like this. The man was St. Louis's offensive coordinator this year. He got better things to worry about than, you know what, Tim Tebow is up to and what he's doing. I mean, yes, he knows his tendencies. That's about it.
But why would they bring him in now if it wasn't going to be of a benefit?
Because
what's
Ron
the
point? Hey, it's all one-upmanship. It's just like studying tape, studying film.
Although, you know what? You know what it could be? What do you guys think about that? Just hit me. Just hit me like a stroke of genius. It just hit me. This could just, I mean, maybe he don't, maybe Train's right. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit. Maybe he's got nothing to contribute. Could it just be a mind thing? Belichick.
I mean, they ran a totally different offense this year.
Yeah, I mean, I knew the scheme would be different. I'm not worried. I wasn't worried so much about the scheme, but I was thinking that that you know that coaches do get to learn about players' tendencies, you know, and so as a head coach, he knows these guys pretty well. Most of these guys. He drafted a lot of these guys, and so I was thinking that might be an advantage, and it might be. But I think even the bigger advantage is just going to be the fact that the Broncos don't know what he's sharing, and they may not even be talking to him. They might not take it. They might just be like, "We just hired you just to get in their head."
he might just be sitting there drinking something the whole game, and not contribute any type of information.
Right. B, I'm going to put you on the spot. Your first call into the Madden Voice, I'm going to put you on the spot. You saw the Broncos take out the Patriots. Take out the Steelers. The Steelers beat the Patriots in Foxborough, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So this is a team that has played a high-level team and upset them last week. Do you give them any chance to beat the Patriots this weekend?
All right, now, T, you know I'm always truthful about my Patriots. I feel my defense is suspect. If Tebow has the type of game that he did against the Steelers, there's a chance. But you know I got to roll with my Patriots, though, still.
I would hope so. Because then I have to call
you. You know I roll with my Patriots.
You know, then I got to call you Train, man. You know, if you start. You know.
No, I do see our defense being suspect, especially the secondary. But I'm sure we're going to come up with something for that.
Okay. So are you saying, so do I have a prediction? Can you get a prediction?
Oh, prediction Saturday night, Patriots are going to advance next week.
About how?
Give me a score, man. I'm putting you on the spot right now. Give me a score.
Score. Yeah. I say 30 to 23.
Yeah, so you're scared. You're scared.
I ain't scared. I'm being realistic. I mean, but T, you know I've seen these boys play live.
But you're scared. You say by one touchdown? They're only going to win by one touchdown? You're scared.
I'm scared. Not by one touchdown.
You need to go off fear factor, man. That's fear right there.
It ain't fear. Well, what's the line on the game anyway?
I say they beat them much.
It opened at 9.
Yeah, it's down to 7.5.
Down to 7.5?
Yeah.
Ooh,
this morning it was 7.5.
Yeah, so I'm just being realistic.
But it did open at 9, so you know the Tebow bandwagon has brought that down to 7.5.
Hey, as long as they win, that's all I'm going for.
K Star, help him. He's a Patriots fan, man, but he's wavering. What are your thoughts on the game?
I'm looking at it right now. It's actually, from what I'm reading, it says New England by 13.5 as the line. Maybe it got updated again. I don't know, but.
You know what? You're right. You're right. It is 13.5. I was thinking. I was. What the? There's another game that's 7.5. You're right. It is 13.5. All right. Go ahead.
Yeah. The Patriots should win this game simply because there's a big if that Tim Tebow can match the performance he played last week against the Steelers. However, saying that, Patriots defense is significantly not nearly as well as the Steelers defense, or as good, you know, at being ranked last in the league. So they're going to give yards. And honestly, the one look that bothered Tebow pretty much for the most of the year was that cover one, man-to-man, press coverage look. We saw he can beat that. So the Patriots have to mix it up. And they run zone, the Patriots or the Broncos are going to be able to run all over them. Saying that, I do feel like the Patriots and Foxborough will be too much. They probably should have been about two touchdowns. You know they're going to first opponent turnover somehow, some way. Just because they tend to get those kinds of things. And, again, it's a big if Tim Tebow can match, you know, firepower with Tom Brady. It really is. Because you know the Patriots are going to score. The Broncos defense hasn't nearly been as good. And they haven't been nearly as good as they have been through the middle of the season. So I don't see the Broncos getting enough stops. They'll probably get maybe one, two tops. And if that's the case, then the Patriots should roll.
All right, Train, what do you think?
Whoop them the same way they did in regular season, man. Yeah, I say we're talking about two touchdowns or more. Rolling with the Patriots.
Yeah, you know, and B and D, thanks for calling in. I put you guys back on mute. If you have any other comments, just press one, and I'll bring it back on the show. You know, I don't see. I mean, I'm just going. You know, I feel like I'm the only one that actually will go out and just be bold with my predictions, man. You know, and I'm gonna tell you, I don't see a way that this guy comes back and does it again. Yeah, Patriots D isn't as good as the Steelers D. I get that. But the Patriots offense is much better than the Steelers offense. And Tom Brady and at home is virtually unbeatable at home, virtually. And, is, you know, and I'm going to tell you, I saw something from Tom Brady in that first game. It was almost like he was irked by all of this Tim Tebow stuff. It was almost like he was like a little irritated. Like, who is this kid? You know, like, you know, I'm Tom Brady, man. I'm, you know who I am? MVP, Super Bowl, 3-time Super Bowl. Who is this kid? And they went for it and they whooped him. And I think this is going to be just as bad. It could even be worse. I don't see it. I think they put everything they had. They played their Super Bowl. They won. It's their last. Well, more than likely, it's their. Actually, it would be their last home game. They have no chance of hosting, I don't believe, a home game, Denver. So congratulations. Your season is a success, no matter what. But that said, Belichick ain't gonna let these boys come in there and do this to them. It just ain't gonna happen. And I'm saying 3 touchdowns. That's what I'm saying. Patriots by 3 touchdowns.
The only way the Broncos have a chance is if we remember the first game, the reason why the game got out of hand because the Broncos were up 16-7, I believe, were the 3 fumbles in the second quarter. If they don't fumble the ball three times in the second quarter, we have a significantly closer game. Now, again, the big question is does Denver turn the ball over or not in the game? If they don't turn the ball over, they got a chance. If they turn the ball over even once, that's all she wrote because
well,
you can't.
You don't know if the turnovers, if you take the turnovers away, if it becomes a different game. We've seen Brady do this time and time again. You know, down 21 to Buffalo, and then score
true.
Seven straight
that's
touchdowns. So I mean,
that's true. I'm just going to credit those fumbles were on the short field. They're pretty bad territory for them.
Absolutely. But you know,
if the Broncos don't come over, I think they give themselves a chance. But again, if they travel even one time, I just don't see any how it's going to end pretty for them because you can't get the Patriots the winning the turnover margin because that offense is simply too good. It's going to make you play.
Right. And as good of a defense as Denver has, I like Pittsburgh. I like New England's offense more than I like Denver's defense. So,
absolutely.
You know. All right, so let's move on to the next game, and let's talk a little bit about the Giants and the pathetic showing of the Falcons. Just pathetic. Just pathetic. And you got to sit there. I'm sorry. I don't mean to, you know, bring up other teams in the NFC that didn't make the playoffs, but you got to sit there and say, really, 24-2, and you didn't, and you don't even show up. You know, as poorly as the Cowboys played the week before, they played a better game than the Falcons. The Bears would have played better with Caleb Haney. You know, the Eagles definitely would have played a better game. I mean, there's so many teams in the NFC that didn't make the playoffs that I think would have showed up to play that game. And the Falcons just was so disappointing. It was just sickening. And why they didn't just shove Michael Turner down the throat, I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. You got, you know.
They listen to the Madden voice, D. They listen to the Madden voice. We told them what to do. They listen to the Madden voice.
They obviously didn't listen to the Madden voice. Obviously. Madden voice. And I said I didn't believe in Matt Ryan, and he showed me why I don't believe in him. And I'll tell you what. 4th-and-1 three times, two times in their inside their 25. Why, on guys, someone please help me understand why they're trying to quarterback sneak or run the ball on that defensive line, which might be the best defensive line. If it's not the best defensive line in the NFL, they're certainly playing like the best defensive line in the NFL. Why would you do that? You need a yard. Why aren't you rolling out and hitting Gonzalez? Or doing, you know, I don't get – am I missing something here, guys? Someone help me out here.
It's kind of funny. It's funny because when the Falcons do get bold and decide to go for it, they decide to call the most bland play call of all time to try and get the yard. We saw it against the Saints game. They called just regular, I believe, a halfback dive or maybe it was a power run with Michael Turner on 4th-and-1. And this time they run two QB sneaks. And let's face it, Matt Ryan, I mean, he's not exactly the best option to run a quarterback sneak, especially if he gets stuffed the first time the way he did. I don't know why they went back to that. If they're not going to take the three, I agree. You know, spread them out. Be more elaborate. Just don't be that basic if you're going to be that bold to begin with and go for the fourth down. But if they had taken their points those two times, you know, they would have actually had a pretty legit shot for, you know, most of the game. So that definitely changed. That momentum killed them by not getting those four down conversions or even the 3 points that could have the 6 points that they could have had.
You have three. You know, you have two incredible wide receivers and a Hall of Fame tight end. You got backs that can catch the ball out of the backfield. You've got a decent quarterback, and you don't get one offensive point. Not one. I mean, the Giants are good. They ain't that good. You know, you really made them look a lot better than they are. It was sickening. Train, is this 2007 all over again? I'm getting sick of hearing that. I'm hearing this 2007 all over again. The Giants, they're going to make this incredible run. They're going to go in. They're going to beat the Packers, and then they're going to go in and they're going to beat maybe the Saints or the 49ers, whoever they would have to go and play, and then they're going to go to the Super Bowl and beat the Patriots or maybe the Ravens or maybe the Steelers. Oh, never mind, not the Steelers. You know, going to be.
That's old.
Now, the outside chance that Tebow finds some magic.
That is so evil, man.
This is absurd. I can't wait for next year when the Steelers and Cowboys play.
in Dallas. But anyway, go ahead, Train. What do you think about these Giants?
Well, irregardless of what they did in the past, they definitely do look good now in the playoffs. And it doesn't matter how you did all season long. When you get that chance to get in the playoffs, you got to show up. The same magic as 2007, I wouldn't say so. I think this team just looks a little crisp than the 2007 because nobody gave them a chance then. So this team just looks a little more crisp than the team did in 2007. So I just think they get to have a good chance with the way they're playing now. And that's if they continue to play that way. And it looks like they're off that roller coaster that they were on during the regular season where they're just up and down. Now they look a little bit more consistent.
K-Star, what do you think?
They do have a pretty remarkable same makeup as they did in 07 as far as the defensive line goes. You know, they had a perfect storm for them because they had O.C. Munoz, Justin Tuck, Pierre Paul. They're all very healthy. And, you know, Ahmad Bradshaw's back. So they're going to get the Packers a game. Do I necessarily think they'll beat them? I don't know about that. I'm still kind of debating with myself on that one, simply because the Packers have an injured offensive line, as we know the Giants' strength is that pass rush. So, I mean, they really do have a chance. Their running game's coming together. Eli's playing great. And honestly, they got better receivers now than they, you know, ever did, and better pass games than they did in 07. So, yeah, they got a legit chance to make that 07 run, but it's going to be very tough going to the Green Bay and beating, you know, the Aaron Rodgers-led Packers.
Well, you know, I I'm not a fan of the Giants. You know, I think everybody knows that. So, you know, certainly, in order for me to start saying anything positive about them, they got to win this game on Sunday. You know, and I don't think that's going to happen. But, you know, I mean, for all of the hype around the Giants, they played a Atlanta team that was up and down this year and that we all said was suspect. They played a Cowboy team that was up and down this year that we all said was suspect. And yet, for some reason, there's all of this hype around them as if they're knocking, you know, as if they're really knocking off contenders. And I don't see it. You know, I don't see it. They've done what they've had to do. The win against the Jets was a great win. It was in their own stadium, even though they were away team. But the Jets didn't even make the playoffs. And week before that, they lost to the Redskins, who swept them this year. So, I mean, you know, like, I get it to some degree, but I really don't see a marquee victory in there for me to say, look out. I don't see it. When I look at their wins, I don't see it. So I'm not a believer. I do think the thing they've got going for them, two things. One is confidence because they've been there before, and that's helpful. But they're playing a team that's been there before too. And that D-line is for real. I do believe in their defensive line. I've watched them play several games, and I'm very impressed with their defensive line. And if they don't give Rodgers time, yeah, it could be a long day, if they can get at him. But that said, it's time for predictions. I'm going to make my predictions. It ends here for the Giants. As my late grandfather, J.B. Floyd, used to say, I hate to skin you, but I need your hide. They're done. It's over. I don't really care whether it's a point or whether it's five touchdowns. I really don't care. It's over. They're not going to go to Lambeau and win this game. All of the 2007 comparisons will end. It's done. And Aaron Rodgers will sit back and wait for the Saints to come to town to play in the conference championship game. Train, what do you think?
Jeez, man, you know how much I hate the Packers. But I still hate the Packers. So I'm thinking the Giants will upset, dude. I think they can actually upset this team. I think they got a defensive line that's good enough to take advantage of some injuries to Green Bay's offensive line. And who cares if it's in Lambeau? New York plays in cold weather. They're a cold weather team. They're not a dome team. So who cares about the elements? They can win this game. You know, they have all the keys offensively and defensively to win this game, but they got to get pressure on Rodgers, and I think they can do that with that defensive line so that their secondary don't get toasted. So, yeah, I'm taking the Giants. That's it.
Just a quick comment from the chat room from Jedi Capricorn. Packers don't have a chance of beating the Giants. That's his quote. I will remind him that they just beat the Giants several weeks ago. So just a reminder, they have more than a chance. They've already done it. Ali Quick, K-Star, your prediction?
I've been going back and forth myself in this game. I want to pick the Giants in an upset. Again, for me, it comes back to, you know, yes, it's in Lambeau, but we've seen Eli go to Lambeau and win before. And a lot of
against,
the roster,
against Brett Favre.
Yeah, you know, he's a slouch, but.
No, I didn't say it was a slouch. I just said it was against Brett Favre. That's all I said.
I'm sorry, Kevin. Anyway, again, the Packers' weakness right now, they have injuries in the offensive front. That the Giants, you know, strengths of that pass rush on the defensive line. So you got to get the edge to the Giants in that situation. If they get a couple stops on Aaron Rodgers, it may prove to be enough because the Green Bay Packers have gained a lot of points and yards this year. So I'm going to go with the Giants in an upset. I don't feel great about this pick because, again, still, you know, the Green Bay team has been the best all year. But, again, anything can happen. It's a one-game, you know, playoff. So I got to go with the Giants. I feel like they're going to get it done. They're high at the right time.
Let's see. Now, I'm going to go on a limb here and say I understand why K-Star picked the – I mean, why Train picked the Giants, because he can't pick the Packs because they're rivals. So I get that. I think K-Star picked the Giants because of the fact that they're in the division with the Cowboys. That's what I think.
Oh, my God.
I think this
really,
goes back
really
to the Cowboys.
You're now. You are digging deep in this conspiracy theory of my hating of the Cowboys. It's ridiculous.
I do. I think that's
I know
why.
You do. That's what's so creepy about it. That's
why, man. You don't want to come on the Madden Boys if y'all lose to Denver.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
Now I'm going to get off.
I would forever hate Tim Tebow.
I'm going to get off. Get on you right now. Okay. With what you gave me about Romo and how on this and that and Romo and he didn't do it and blah, 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 all that bull. Man, do not. I'm going to tell you now, get a flu, get a cold, get something, man. Get a high ankle sprain, something. You don't want to come on the Madden Voice next Tuesday night. I don't care if Ben gets knocked out the first play and don't play the whole game. Don't come on the show next week because there's no way on earth the Steelers should lose it.
When you put the show in the archive, you might as well just rename this show "The Fall of K-Star." if you could just do that, that'd be great.
Oh, that was good. That was good. Wait.
I just hope this isn't all too good to be true. Hee hee.
Oh man.
Oh man, that was good. I might do that too. But some news around the NFL. Hugh Jackson gets fired today. Romeo Crennel gets hired in KC. And for all you Cowboy fans out there, you may not know. You may know that Dave Campo is gone. And Dave Campo is a local guy. Coached right here, Central Connecticut, 15 minutes from where I live here in Connecticut. And he's a really good guy, really good person. We wish him the best, but I'm glad he was a secondary coach and he had to go. But Hudson Hawk, 29 years coaching, and most of those years with the Cowboys, offensive line coach, including 3 Super Bowls in the 90s, and he's retired. And Bill Callahan, former head coach of the New York Jets, is actually coming on the Cowboys staff. So, a little Cowboy news for you. AFC K-Star, what do you think? What's your thoughts on Hugh Jackson and the Raiders actually getting fired?
I think it's a raw deal, man. This is his first year. I felt like he did a pretty good job. I mean, he lost Darren McFadden, the best player on that roster, for pretty much, what was it? He played 6 games. So, I mean, God, he was without him for about 10 games, and that was just pretty critical in the season. They weren't the same team when they lost Darren. Again, I don't understand it. You know, they brought in a quarterback in the middle of the year, you know, in Carson Palmer. So he really didn't even get a chance to really elaborate on his scheme with Carson and really get that team ready.
In a way, he didn't even have a training camp. Or I'm sorry, he didn't even have OTAs. He didn't have any of that stuff. This was his first year. And you're telling me you're going to fire a man who, I mean, at the last week of the season, still had a chance to win the division, okay, and had no OTAs and no real offseason to prep this very young team, and no Jeremy Fadden. You're going to get rid of the guy? Like, really?
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
We have to agree. We have to agree with Mr. K-Star. We have to agree that this is the most ridiculous firing. This is did Al Davis really pass away? Is he calling the shots from the grave? Because this is the most ridiculous firing. The more I think about it, they had no offseason, no training camp, no OTAs, nothing. You bring in a quarterback halfway through the year, you lose your marquee running back, and you still have a chance. This team has been ass for years. You still have a chance to win your division. Give the guy another year. Let Jason Campbell come back and battle it out with Carson Palmer and see who's going to be your starting quarterback. Get McFadden into an offseason. The guy gets hurt. Get him into an offseason training program so he can get healthy. And, you know, you still got a solid defense. I mean, this team was responding to this guy. They were listening to him. I should have called my buddy Chuck up and asked him what he thought. He's a huge, huge Raiders fan. He's probably working now, so but I don't get it. I don't get it. Train, what do you think?
Somebody should have protected that man's job. I can take this back home, similar situation in Chicago. We just fired our GM. But when they fired Angelo, you know, Ted Phillips, who's the president, you know, came on and said, you know, Smith is safe. Lovie Smith is safe. There's, you know, I want to bring in a GM that can work with him. Somebody did not protect Hugh Jackson in the hiring of McKenzie. Somebody didn't protect him. And pretty much gave him power that when he comes in, he can do it alone. Because, I mean, Hugh Jackson was a promotion from Al Davis himself, or Al Davis GM, pretty much. That's from Davis to coach his team. He had part of a season. He finally get a full year. He lost his starting quarterback. He lost his starting running back. Michael Bush did okay, but he's not there. McFadden. Carson Palmer comes in. I mean, same thing you guys said. He comes in. He does, no training camp. He comes in off the street. He does okay. Probably could have done better. We all expected them to take that division. They seem to be the stronger team. But, you know, I don't know whether this guy felt like his job was tied into this coach or not, but I think he's definitely going to give the dude another year, at least one more year to get together. He would have had a training camp. He would have had, you know, an offseason. They would have been able to bring in players. The players come back healthy. Give him one more year to try to keep his job. I mean, most coaches get 3 years. From 2.5, you get promoted. But, man, after 1 year, somebody should have protected Hugh Jackson on this hiring of the GM.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's ridiculous.
I don't understand how a GM right away can sit here and say, without even really having much time to spend with a coach thus far, that he can't work with him. Like, again, you're right. Who is this guy? If anything, you know, and I know there was an Al Davis joke made earlier, but honestly, this is disrespectful. To Al Davis, simply because, you know, that was the last extension of Al Davis. Al Davis did hire Hugh Jackson, and Al Davis was that GM. And for some guy just not affiliated with the Raiders to come in there and just completely clean house like that.
Well,
say, hey.
I, just for the record, I'm looking at Twitter right now, and I've got Warren. I think this is Warren Sapp's Twitter, and he says that actually Mark Davis, as Al Davis's son, actually made the call to fire Hugh Jackson, not Reggie McKenzie. So that's just reported on Twitter minutes ago. So, I mean, interesting. And so I go back and say, here we go, Al Davis from the grave. I mean, you know, knee-jerk reaction. I don't think it's a good call. And, you know, for all the good things we said about the Raiders and the potential, I think they're going to continue to suffer in mediocrity again. I don't see it. I think you had a lot of pieces in place, and now I think you're going to slowly unravel again. Let's move on. My Super Bowl pick, the Saints, took out the Lions. the score was, I think, 45-28 or something like that. But, you know, the game wasn't that close. I mean, the Lions made a couple of plays to try to make it interesting, but every single time Drew Brees just responded. I mean, every single time. Every time the Lions thought they got to within 10, which it's amazing in the NFL you get within 10 and you feel like, you know, it's a game again. I mean, I remember back in the day, you're up by 10 points, game's over. Now you get within 10, it's like, oh, yeah, it's a game again, you know. But that said, Drew Brees, you know, once again just showed why, in my opinion, he's a league MVP. But, Train, let me ask you some. Lions are in your division. Are the Saints really just that good, or were the Lions maybe a little overrated?
The Saints are that good. And I wouldn't necessarily say, you know, the Lions are overrated. They're definitely a passing team. I mean, they do have Calvin Johnson. He definitely creates opportunities for those other receivers. But, I mean, another thing to look at that game was that, I mean, the officiating kind of early on jacked up some opportunities for the Lions. When they actually had momentum of the game, you know, before Drew Brees found his groove. Now, that's not to say that the Lions would have won. I still think they were blessed because once he got home, they couldn't stop him. They didn't, you know, they couldn't cover him. When they got behind and Matthew Stafford was trying to bring him back, he started, you know, throwing those picks that he tends to throw, multiple picks in a game, the same as he did in the regular season. So, but just to answer your question, yes, the Saints are that good. A scary team. They're playing the best ball right now of all the teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I tend to think, I thought it all season, the Lions are a little overrated. They're better than I gave them credit for. Stafford has played a better season than I thought he would. He threw for a lot of yards, but you saw in this game, he'll give you the ball right back too. You know, I think that's one of the reasons he didn't go to the Pro Bowl. You know, he did have enough interception turnovers this year. I think in the future, I think the Lions certainly got a lot of things in place, and I think that they'll continue to improve and be a team to be reckoned with. I didn't think this was their year, never thought it. But I think, you know, they're heading in the right direction. But here's a question. Let me get your take on this, K-Star. You know, we talk a lot about Drew Brees, but talk to me. I mean, you saw Darren Sproles play for San Diego for a lot of years out in the AFC. You know, is he this team's unsung hero or what?
Absolutely. Yeah, that was the best free agency acquisition in New Orleans has made since Drew Brees. He's been phenomenal. I mean, you know, he broke the NFL record this year in all-purpose yards because he's just, you know, a factor in every phase of the game, from special teams to the receiving game to the rushing game. The guy's been just phenomenal. And we've even seen a domino effect in San Diego. Phillip Rivers' play has come down quite a bit this year without, you know, having that outlet, Darren Sproles. Mismatch that Drew Brees now has and taken advantage of. Darren Sproles is definitely a tremendous threat, a great, fun player to watch, and he's just a very, very good player. And I'm happy to see it come together for him in New Orleans, because now we can really see Darren Sproles' potential finally being fulfilled. And even on the flip side, and I know they're already eliminated, but even seeing Reggie Bush get a chance out of Miami, which is kind of cool to see as well, since he's flourishing. But yeah, Darren Sproles has been phenomenal. Definitely the biggest free agent acquisition this past offseason, over Nnamdi, over all of them guys. He's been just that special for them.
Yeah, you know, and on the note of Sproles and Bush, you got to see that's really, those are the kind of deals you like to see, because Bush really has found a home now in Miami. He's got a bigger role, which is what he wanted. He's been more of an every down back and actually showed some durability. He played, I mean, arguably, all around, arguably, maybe, you know, stats, I don't know, but production-wise, just key plays at key times, this might have been his best year. And so it was a very good trade for Miami, and clearly the Sproles trade, he to me is, you know, all the talk of Jimmy Graham and Marcus Colston and Devery Henderson and Meacham and my man Lance Moore, although he had a hamstring injury. I mean, all those guys are certainly players, but the guy who makes all that possible, to me,
is the little man, Darren Sproles, because, you know, this guy's coming out of the backfield, and someone's got to – somebody, and if you watch, ain't no linebacker can cover Darren Sproles. So he's got to put a safety – but he either got to put a corner or a safety on him, and the safeties are struggling to cover him too.
They don't cover him.
Right. So, I mean, you have that matchup issue, and it's opening up these guys one-on-one, and Breeze is just having a field day back there.
He actually reminds me a bit of when he's playing receiver for them, because they split him out. Like, he actually reminds me a little bit of Wes Welker, because, like, there's just a few plays, there's a few, like, third downs where they just completed a short pass to him, and you would watch the replay of it, and the guy defending him would just completely just be helpless when he made a little cut or move, and he would just get open. Like, he's just that – He's taken that offense from a very good to almost unstoppable, record-breaking setting this year. He's been that vital to that offense. And he's just dangerous even on draws and dive. He's so fat. He's just such a great player.
Yeah, he really is. Jedi Capricorn says, with the Giants, playoffs are much different. Giants get serious when the playoffs start. I should remind him the Giants haven't won a playoff game since 07. So, you know. But anyway. Just comment from the chat room. All right, so let's get to some predictions on this game. Saints traveling to San Francisco to play the 49ers. Outdoor game. We know that the 49ers field can be questionable at best, so this is not a dome game. Who's making all that noise?
Oh, sorry. My bad.
Come on, good. All right. Goodness gracious. So... You know, we know that this is a away game for the Saints, so it's not in their stadium. The 49ers certainly, their stadium is not the greatest field in the world. So with that said, let me go to the noisemaker himself, Train. What do you think about this game, Saints going to the 49ers?
Wow, man. I've liked the way the 49ers have played all season. I really have. I mean, style defense, strong running game, not too much pressure on the quarterback. Alex Smith made plays when he needed to, you know, and they pulled out the games. But, man, the way the Saints are playing right now, I see it being a good game. I see it possibly being a close game. But I think it's a close game that that the Saints will pull out. They're playing awesome ball right now. They're playing phenomenal ball right now. So I'm going to take the Saints in the closing.
All right. K-Star?
I believe the magic number in this game is 24. If the Niners can muster 24 points, I believe they can win the game. If they hold the Saints to 24 below, I feel like they can also win this game. It's only before because, as we all know, the Saints' offense is just it's a machine. However, we've also seen that on the road, they've lost to St. Louis, they lost to Tampa Bay. They had a very close game that came out to a two-point conversion, I believe, against the Titans outdoors. It's going to be a muddy track. It's going to completely slow down in San Francisco. Jim Harbaugh, I don't think we can underestimate him as a play caller. He's very good. However, you know, at the end of the day, quarterback play is so important in these playoff games, and Drew Brees is going to play, you know, Alex Smith. And for as efficient as Alex Smith has been this year, I just don't see the Niners being able to do all these things to overcome the Saints team, who honestly has been there and done that before. They won Super Bowl a couple years ago. The Niners are just getting their feet wet, coming back in the postseason for the first time in nearly a decade. So with that being said, I got to go with the Saints. They've done before. I'm very intrigued, however, by the match. I think it'll be a very close game, but again, I believe the Saints will win, but the Niners can definitely give themselves quite the opportunity if they control the clock and, again, limit the Saints' offense. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. You guys still there?
Yeah, we'll see you.
All right. And I just lost my switchboard and everything. I'm glad it didn't disconnect me. Firefox. I'm using Firefox, and I'll tell you. All right. So, you know, you talk about the Saints losing to, you know, the Bucks. That was near the beginning of the season. You talk about them losing to the Rams. I mean, fluke game. You know, what we've seen from the Saints for the better part of the season is a machine. And
I they are my Super Bowl pick, but you know, even more than that, I think Drew Brees is playing at a higher level than he's ever played, and he just, you know, we talk about the Packers offense and what Aaron Rodgers is doing, but right now I like what I see from the Saints offense, and what doesn't get talked about is the fact that they can also run the ball on you, you know, with Ivory and of course, Sproles and, Pierre Thomas. And, you know, Ingram goes out and gets hurt, and they don't even miss him. You know, that's how deep they are. So I am going to say I don't believe in the 49ers. I haven't believed in them. You know, yes, it was the beginning of the season that the Saints had their losses that we talked about. It was also beginning of the season where the Cowboys went in there in San Francisco and came back and beat those 49ers. Now, I will say they're not the same team they were then. They're a better team now than they were then. But I don't believe that Alex Smith is a better quarterback now than he was then. I think the defense is pretty good. And I think the X factor for the 49ers is I really like their coach. Harbaugh is a really good coach. But Sean Payton is just a little bit better. And I don't think the Saints are going to score 50 points, but I do think they're going to win this one by at least two touchdowns. I do think that this is not going to be a close game. I don't think that I don't think any defense in the NFL can stop the Saints. I think what will stop the Saints is the Saints. If the Saints make mistakes, if Brees has an off game, throw some picks and, you know, get some penalties and that kind of stuff, and they get off their rhythm, I think that could hurt them. But I don't think there's a defense out there this year that's going to stop these guys. So I think the Saints win this, and I think they win this relatively big. And that's my prediction, and I'm sticking to it. All right, I am back. I got my switchboard back up. Man, I tell you, Firefox really irritates me sometimes. Okay, last game of the week. And I do believe that I was the only one to call Houston beating Cincinnati. I don't know why I got Pittsburgh on the brain today, man. What's up, man? What's up, K-Star? Why I got your team on the brain? I keep wanting to say Pittsburgh. I keep wanting to say the Steelers, man. Why? Why is that? Huh? K-Star?
Hey, man. We're just, you know, we're relevant. The subconscious, conscience. You know, even when we're not here, we're relevant. What happens when you win more Super Bowls than any other team in NFL history, including the Cowboys?
Yeah. That's true.
All right. Obviously, the Steelers won with this game. They're one defense, total yards and scoring, playing one of the most anemic offenses in all of football. The ankle for Big Ben is a lot better than it was San Francisco, which is definitely good news. But we lost in the hall. You know, again, Mike Wallace, Antonio Brown, two prolific receivers for us. Don't see how, you know, Tim Tebow and the Broncos can match us point for point at Mile High. Again, that offense is just horrendous to begin with, and they're playing against number one defense in the league.
Number one defense.
Troy Polamalu, James Harris, Lamar Woodley, the country.
Coming at you, man.
I love you.
Coming at you, man.
Not this Sunday.
Not this Sunday.
I know you're going to cry about it.
We're leaving a quick 4-4 game next year.
You should have never, ever, ever, ever messed with me last weekend about Tony Romo not having a great game against the Giants, even in defeat, man. Should have never did it. Should have just let it go.
Wow.
All right. So Cincinnati loses. K-Star, you're in the AFC. Yeah, and that's a team that you see twice a year. They're in your division. I mean, Houston did what I thought they would do. They ran the ball. Cincinnati didn't have a shot here. They couldn't beat your team. Your team swept them. The Ravens swept them. Okay. I mean, you know, you go 2-4 in your division. Was that even a real playoff team? Were they really a valid playoff team? When we saw teams like the Chargers play great at times. We saw the Raiders play great at times. We saw the Titans play well at times. The Jets play well at times. I mean, should this team have even been in the playoffs?
I mean, you can only play who's on your schedule, but the Bengals' schedule this year was very weak. The AFC North collectively played the NFC West, as we all know, being the worst in the division, and you know, with the Bengals anyway, I believe they finished third last year in the division, so they also played every single team in the AFC who finished third in their division. So they played pretty much the easiest schedule in all of football. They certainly didn't look like a playoff team. I don't believe they'd be anyone with the running record this year. And again, that's why they got blown out in the opening playoff game this past Saturday.
Train, I'm going to ask you this question, because Train, I've always considered you. Two things I know about Train is he loves good defense and he loves good running backs. There's two things I know about Train. And the Texans under Wade Phillips have a very, very good defense. Do you think that Jerry Jones, and I heard this on another show and it got me thinking, so I'm going to ask you, because obviously I'm biased, so I'm going to ask you as an unbiased person, and you know, at least on this topic you're not biased. Do you think that Jerry Jones is sitting there thinking, damn, you know, I fired this guy, and then the next year he leads his defense. You know, he helps his team get to the playoffs. We're sitting here home, and look how good his defense is playing. Our defense look like ass. Damn, do you think Jerry Jones is sitting over there saying, what the heck?
You know, you might want to kick yourself in the butt, but some coaches are not meant to be head coaches. Head coaches have to make different decisions. They have to make the tough decisions. And Wade Phillips wasn't good at making the tough decisions. Now, as far as defensive coordinator, he is superb. Probably one of the best at it, but he wasn't good at the head coach. So, could you have hired him as your defense coordinator after firing him as a head coach? I don't think so. I don't know how many people would take that demotion. So I don't know how much you could really kick yourself in the butt for that, because you brought this man in to be your head coach when you first hired him. So, it's just water under the bridge, man. You don't kick yourself in the butt for that. It's just, you know,
I appreciate
that. So he's a great defensive coordinator. You got to give him credit for that.
Absolutely.
He's just not a good head coach. That's as simple as that.
And I think you said it 100% correctly, and I agree with you. I've always thought that Wade Phillips is a top five defensive coordinator in the NFL. Always thought that. And I've always thought he was a bottom five head coach in the NFL. I thought that before the Cowboys hired him. I had to get on his bandwagon because I'm a Cowboy fan. I got to support my team. But I never liked him as a head coach. And you're right. Once you fire him, you can't say, but we'll keep you running the defense. It's not going to happen. So, no, Jerry Jones is not looking back and regretting this even a little bit, because he was a crappy head coach. He was 1-7 last year, and he had to go. And Jason Garrett came in and took the same team 5-3 down the stretch. So no, but congratulations to Wade. I'm happy for him because he's a good man. He's a good person. He's got a long history. You know, his father, Bum Phillips, and all that. And he's a Texas guy. So for him to end up on the Texans to have an opportunity to end his career. And who knows, maybe even get one more. I'm hearing his name being thrown around as a head coach again. I hope he just stays at it, because he's where he needs to be. He's where he needs to be. Finish your career right where you're at. Stay there 4 or 5 years and then go off in the sunset and, you know, bake cupcakes for a living. All right, let's get into our predictions. I'm sorry. Did I miss something?
No, I was just about to entertain it for a second because he actually put it out there. He said that he should be considered for a head coaching job.
You know, absolutely not.
In his own words. And I was just like, okay, you know. I know Belichick didn't get it right the first time. You know, he went down to the Patriots and he did his thing, but he didn't get it right the first time. But
this wasn't his first time. I mean, he's had a number of head coaching jobs, and he has failed. I believe the Cowboys was his fourth head coaching job, and he has failed every single time. Wade Phillips,
really?
Absolutely. He was a Buffalo head coach. He was. I'd have to go look it up, but yeah, he's been a head coach several times, and
but he came to you guys from the Chargers DC position, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but I didn't know he was a head coach other than head coach of you guys. I didn't think he was a head coach ever.
Buffalo, I want to say San Diego, but I'd have to go look it up and see if I could find it real quick. All right, let me look it up real quick.
I'll look it up. You continue.
Texans at the Ravens. K-Star, what's your thought on this game?
It's a third-string quarterback at the end of the day going into the Ravens' nest. And I hate to say that, but it's true. The Ravens should do a number on the Texans. It could be a close game. Joe Flacco plays bad or if the Ravens, for whatever reason, lose their minds, forget to give the ball to Ray Rice, which has happened a few times this season, but I don't see it happening. The Ravens should be able to win this game in 20-3 type of variety. I don't think it's going to be too competitive in the second half at all.
Wade Phillips was an interim head coach for the Saints.
Yes.
He was head coach for the Broncos, head coach for Buffalo, and head coach for Dallas.
I got him and North Turner confused because they're basically like the same guy.
No, actually, I meant Denver. I knew it was a team in that division, and it was Denver that he was a coach for. That's why I saw it was San Diego. Yeah, so I mean, he's been around, and he's never had. I mean, that's why you didn't know, because he has not been successful. So, all right. So, who did you pick? Did you pick the Ravens, K-Star?
Yes, I did.
20-3, you said.
Yep.
All right. Train, Ravens hosting the Texans.
I like the Ravens in this one. I think the boat stops here for the Texans. They definitely got a strong defense. They definitely got a nice running game. But, you know, I think the Ravens with home field advantage, the way they played throughout the season, I think they can pull this game out. They're completely healthy. They don't have any issues. And, of course, it depends on the quarterback play of Joe Flacco. But, you know, you look at Joe Flacco versus T.J. Yates, I'll take Flacco. The key for the Ravens in this game will be Ray Rice. Please get the ball in this man's hands. Please, if you want to win this game. You know, and the defense is a B tip attack, but I think the Ravens edge him out.
You know, here I go again.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Everything in me says the Ravens are a better team. They're home. You know, they've had a week off to rest. You know, Ray Lewis, you know, a lot of playoff experience. I just have this sneaky feeling, you know, there's going to be an upset this weekend. And when I look at all four of these games, Broncos are not going to beat the Patriots. Giants, I guess you give them a fight. There could be the upset, but I can't swallow that. The Saints, that's not an upset. Matter of fact, I think they're favored to beat the 49ers, even though the 49ers are home. I'm going to say, and I say this just off of kind of the same reason I said it last week, that they would beat Cincinnati. I just feel like the Texans, I'm not a Texans fan at all, but, you know, I think I followed them a little bit more this year than I normally would have because I had Ben Tate on my fantasy team. So I followed them more, and, Tate and Foster's looking like a man child out there. He's healthy and he's running hard. And, that quarterback Yates looked pretty good last week. You know, Dalton's played the whole year, and Yates outplayed him. And that defense, I mean, they're playing. I mean, I know the Ravens historically have a great defense, but this year the Texans' defense statistically is higher rated than the Ravens' defense. I'm going to say the Texans are going to pull an upset here. I'm not completely vested into this one, but I'm gonna make a pick and say the Texans are going to pull an upset here. Now, that said, I'd prefer to see the Ravens go to Pittsburgh. I think that'd be a better game because I think if the Texans win, I think.
Oh, you're so wrong.
Oh, my bad. I meant New England. Actually, that one was a true slip. That one was a true slip. I'd rather see Baltimore go to New England. I think that'd be a better game. But I don't think the Texans would have a shot in heck against the Patriots. But we'll see. All right. We've got a few minutes left to go. And, you know, I want to go back to K-Star one last time. And I want to give K-Star the floor and say, you know, you've had a rough loss Sunday night. Your final words on your season and your thoughts moving forward about your Steelers. I want you to cleanse your soul, man. I want you to, you know, get it all out right now, live on the Madden Voice. Your final thoughts on your season, your loss to the Broncos, and looking ahead with your Steelers next year.
Man, I'm just looking forward to my team getting healthy, and I'm looking forward to this draft, obviously, because it's the only thing I look forward to at this point, just like you do, and just like a train does over there.
You see that, right, Train?
I know, man. I felt the nick.
But okay, you know, I'm looking forward to, you know, the Steelers addressing the cornerback position and again the offensive line. I'm hoping we get another guard. More so than anything else, because it's been bad. The line play's been bad for a few years now. You know, we got Pouncey a couple years ago in the draft, and he's been great, although he's been a little bit injury-prone. I'm just hoping that we continue to improve the offensive line, because we got Ted Ben. He's a franchise. He's a $100 million quarterback. We can have another situation where Big Ben gets into a high ankle sprain because the offensive line let him down. Or even if he does get hurt, we got to listen. I know that the guy's tough, and he's going to want to play no matter what, but honestly, we got to protect him. The fact that he played against the Browns when he didn't need to, the fact that he played against the Niners when he really didn't need to, and the fact that he played against who did he play against? Whomever. He played another game as well. I can't think of it right now. But he should have been resting the ankle for this playoff run, for this Lombardi run. Like I said before, that should have been our mindset. We didn't deserve to win the division once we got swept by Baltimore. We shouldn't have had to rely on other teams to help us out. At that point, you know, it's time to pull the tent, let Big Ben get his rest, so we can make the Lombardi run. Because right now, I believe we would be here playing the Patriots, you know, next Sunday or Saturday night had Big Ben been healthy. Because, again, he couldn't step in the pocket at all. So, Tim Tebow, honestly, I don't know how I feel about you anymore, bro. I did it all year. I support you, and then you come back and do this to me. It's just – it's just burning hell. But – Yeah, I'm a little bitter. I'm still bitter about it, but
you know, and I think the funny thing is that, you know, you really gave me a hard time most of the year about Tony Romo. You really did, and yet Tony, with broken ribs, punctured lung, and a hand swelled up like a grapefruit, and he still played at such a high level, over 100 quarterback rating. And while I like Big Ben, I do. I'm a fan of his. I really have a lot of respect for him. And the guy's got 2 Super Bowls, so, I mean, he speaks well for his legacy. He's a tough quarterback. But that said, he did not play well with those injuries. Now, I don't know if that's all his fault. I got to look at that coaching staff and question, you know, question their judgment and having this guy hobbling around back there, because that's part of his game. But at the end of the day, you know, as you said to me, you really, you know, I'm just being honest with you, he didn't get it done. You know, he was hurt, and he just didn't get it done. Do you think that's going to fire him up? Because I watched the interview. I watched Big Ben's post-game interview in his pimp hat, okay? I watched it, all right? He's looking sharp with his little Dick Tracy pimp hat on. But there was an edge in that interview, I felt. He was upset, but there was an edge. There was I'm pissed off. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like Ike Taylor, I'm sorry, I let you guys down. He was pissed off. You know what I'm saying? And I had to respect. I like when I see that from a player. I like when I see them sitting up there angry. You know, I don't want to hear, well, you know, we just got to get better and we just got to improve. No, I want to hear, I don't know what the heck just happened. You know, I don't believe this crap just happened to us. Do you think your team is going to come out on fire next year because of that?
Absolutely. In fact, it sort of reminds me again, kind of reaching back to New Orleans. I know it's a different team, but the New Orleans Seahawks playoff loss for the New Orleans last year, they came back this year on fire. While they lost opening day this season, they've just been no mercy on their opponent. And, you know, for a fiery guy like Big Ben, you know, he's used to winning. He's used to being in these big games. So for him to not be in it, I know it's killing him. So I fully anticipate a huge year from him next year. And, hey, man, it's rare when we lose this early in the playoffs or whatever. So For all the haters out there, enjoy it. There's a lot, you can talk about Cowboy haters. There's a lot of Steeler haters out there, especially Big Ben haters. You know, again, hey, he's got a lot. He's still got over half of his career left to be played. So, you know, he's going to get back in that big dance quite a few more times. So look out.
And the outside chance that Tebow finds some magic.
Jesus.
That is so evil, man.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a scary, scary thought. I don't even want to entertain it. We just not.
That's what I'm talking about. Love that clip, I promise you.
I don't like it at all.
You're right. Love it.
Train, any last words? I had to let K-Star cleanse his soul, man. And, you know, let me just say this. I've been having a lot of fun with K-Star tonight, but I got to give him credit. I really, honestly, in my heart and soul, wasn't sure if he was even going to show up to the show tonight. You know, he shut off his Facebook. He didn't go to work. He was on Twitter, you know, and I was like, okay, all this stuff going on, dude ain't even going to call into the show tonight. I really didn't think he would. I respect you that you did call in and take your medicine, you know, as you should do. But I respect the fact that you did do that, because had you not done it, this would have been – I had all kinds of other stuff that I was going to play. It would have been worse. I held back because you did call in. Had you not called in and left us here, oh, my God, dude, you wouldn't want – no, man, you wouldn't want to do that. So I appreciate you taking your medicine. Train, any final words, anything you want to add about anything, playoffs, Bears, anything, you know?
That was like air up train. You know, you ain't said much all night. Anyway,
you ain't said much, man.
I'm excited about the Bears all season. We just, you know, we promoted Mike Tice, offensive coordinator. So maybe we got an OC that's not as egotistical as Mike Martz, and understand that you got to play within the talent of your team, however much talent that is. So as I'm just excited we got the offensive coordinator position filled. Now we're working on the GM, and well, hopefully they bring in somebody that's a better judge of talent than D'Angelo, and understand that you actually do need talent on your team to win some games, let alone a championship.
Well, you know, there's a lot of off-season stuff to cover. I will say that Dave Campo being gone and Hudson Hawk retiring, and they bring in Bill Callahan, I think is a good move. And they also went and got a guy that coached, his name escapes me, Jerome Henderson is our new defensive back coach, and he coached with Rob Ryan over in the Browns. You know, I mean, we'll see. I the more I listen to Eric Mangini, who was the head coach, I thoroughly am impressed with the guy. And so anybody who was on his staff, I got to feel good about. So this guy was on his staff. So
I agree with that, by the way. Ever since he brought the Eric Mangini stuff, I've been hearing him a lot lately on ESPN. He's tremendous. He really is.
Yeah.
As an analyst, he's great.
Oh, yeah. I just thoroughly can respect, you know, I enjoy Stephen A. Smith. I found out that him and I are the same age. I found out that, you know, he calls Connecticut now his home. He lives around here somewhere. I don't know where he lives, but he lives up this way somewhere. And I respect Stephen A. Smith, but he is anti-Cowboys, so the respect only goes so far. I don't like Skip Bayless because he just twists. He's not consistent. You know, he says one thing and he comes back, says something different, goes back and forth. So watch First Take tomorrow, because Stephen A. is going to call him out for that very thing. And I'm looking forward to seeing that tomorrow. But I really like when you look at someone who can analyze the game and understands the players, the coaches, the schemes, the personalities, the nuances. Mangini, not only does he understand it, but he explains it in a way that makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
And he's always very even keel, very, like, you know, I really, really appreciate him. And Abby, I truly think this stint on ESPN, he's going to get a job offer. It'd be interesting to see if he takes it or stays there, and if he does, where he might end up. But I would love to have him on our staff, but he's head coach material, and we don't need a head coach. So that said, okay. So we're over by a few minutes. But listen, I want to thank K-Star for coming on the show and taking his medicine. I promise next week won't be so bad. I probably will only play the clip five times next week instead of 10. So I'll give you a break.
I want to thank Dr. Train for coming on the show. I want to thank the callers we had in Saint, my man BNBX, my man Big D calling in, Jedi Capricorn in the chat room, and all the people that listen to us on I'm jumbling my words here, iTunes. A lot of you guys podcast us and listen, and I appreciate, we really, really appreciate the support. I do want to give you guys a heads up that we will continue weekly through the Super Bowl, and then after the Super Bowl, we'll do a post-Super Bowl wrap-up, then we're going to go into an off-season schedule, and I'm going to get with these guys, and we'll determine how often we want to come on the air. It won't be every week. Just don't think there'll be that much to talk about to continue to do a every week show, but we will keep you up to date. We will come on every so often to talk about the latest in the NFL, of course, talk about the draft, and you know, when training camp and OTAs and all that stuff open up, we'll be back on mini camp, you know, all that stuff. We'll be around to talk about things during the off season. It just won't be every week, but stay tuned, we'll give you that. So for K-Star, for Train, for everybody out there listening, hey, I hope you guys enjoyed the show, because we enjoy bringing it to you. And remember, as I always say on the Madden Voice, all feuds are settled on the field. See you next week.